This is season 5 of Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast, where I talk about life after divorce with a playful perspective. Are you seeking more adventure? Are you excited to explore your own self-care and sensuality? Do you long for laughter and a cheeky, fun approach to post-divorce dating? Then join me for today's episode to refresh and recharge your life after divorce. Are you feeling the heat already from this episode? I am feeling the heat already. Well, today's topic was not only inspired, but requested, actually voted on by listeners like you who wanted the ultimate spicy adventure after divorce. And if you listened to last week's episode, and if you haven't yet, definitely treat yourself, you'll recall that I shared that the spice level for today is triple X spice, okay? With a big slice of juicy pineapple on the side. Wink, wink. Yes, we are talking about sexpeditions. You heard me correctly, after divorce with the oh so playful and especially yummy couple, Carol and David. They're actually hosts of the uncensored sex positive podcast, The Sexy Lifestyle, which has over 1 million listeners. Fun fact, Carol and David are actually returning guests. And when I interviewed them back in December of 2021, they shared their journey from being friends when they were married to other people to getting divorced around the same time and then becoming lovers, and then actually finally getting married. Early into their relationship, David and Carol began to experiment in the swing culture. And now, 17 years later, they are experts on the swinging lifestyle. Today, they're going to share their top three adult destinations and how you can best prepare for this naughty and very unique voyage of sorts, what you can expect once you're there, and how you can make sure to have a playful and safe experience when partaking in your post-divorce sexpedition fun. Whew, okay, it's burning up already. If you are ready for this very naughty, I cannot say that enough, and delicious ride, pun intended, then let's start this pleasurable conversation and likely unforgettable episode with some burning questions.
Burning questions. Let's turn up the heat for 60 seconds.
Well, we're going to turn up the heat for much longer than 60 seconds on this episode today. I am so excited to be with my returning guests, David and Carol. You've been waiting for this episode, listener. So we are going to start things out with some burning questions. David and Carol, I wish I could hug you through the screen. It's so good to see you again.
We're so excited to be here. Let's get started.
Okay. All right. Carol goes first, then David, you go second. All right. First question. What is one thing you should always bring on a sexpedition?
Well, a sexpedition means lube. Of course, we have to have our lube. We can't have sex without lube.
David, what would you say?
I think the most important thing to bring on a sexpedition is an open mind and probably a good sex toy.
All right. Name one sexy lifestyle strategy that's strengthened your relationship.
This open discussions and communication.
Being able to admit when I've made a mistake.
You can go on a sexpedition and actually never even have sex. True or false?
Absolutely true.
100% true.
Okay. What is the most misunderstood thing about swing culture?
People think that there's orgies going on all the time.
And guys are walking around the beach with huge erections.
All right. True or false? Sexpeditions are just for couples.
False.
Absolutely false.
When you get divorced and then remarried to a very sexy companion who's also your best friend, you can learn this about yourself.
Oh my goodness. I guess I can learn a lot more about myself, but I'm thinking about my sexual revolution that happened to me. So that's what's coming to my mind.
I would say you can learn more about being open, talking about fantasies, pushing boundaries with someone who you're not necessarily, you know, getting together with to have children. You're getting together with to have a best friend.
Love it. All right. Blank is the most delicious part of a sexpedition.
Oh, all the lovely people that we meet.
Being naked on the beach.
True or false, your hometown of Montreal is definitely not kinky. True or false?
False.
False.
Last question. How can anyone listening today spice up his or her life after divorce?
Oh, just by keeping an open mind and trying new things.
Being honest with a new person that they're going to meet about what their wants and desires are, and not necessarily settling for anything.
Not settling for anything. I love that attitude, David. That's definitely been my attitude since my divorce. All right, before we talk about our sexpedition today, Montreal, I want to hear about what makes it kinky, because I kind of want to go there. I've never been to your city.
Wow. No, it is a very open-minded place. I think we had sex clubs before anybody else did. We've got wonderful swing clubs, a lot of sexy people, dress up, a lot of high heels.
It's a very European city, so the culture is much more open-minded. I think the men, as well as the women, are very open to fashion and being very liberal, open-minded, and meeting someone and speaking French is always very hot.
Oh, yes, it is, David. Do you speak French, David and Carol?
We do.
Yes, oh, my goodness. Don't tease me now. Tease me later. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to have to add Montreal to my sexpedition list. But I know today for the listener, you have a top three of your favorite adult resorts that you're going to talk about, and you're going to take us on a sexpedition. I am so curious. What is the first destination?
Well, let's talk about where we go most often, which is Jamaica. And we go to Hedonism Tour Resort in Jamaica on the beautiful Negril Beach. It's stunning there. The weather is always perfect. You could be naked everywhere. So then that's my favorite place, just because I'm a true nudist at heart.
Hedonism is great. I'll just piggyback on what Carol said. It is the original resort. It's been there for 40 odd years. It just has a culture all into its own. Some of the places you go there take you back to the 70s, take you back to Woodstock. It's a very eclectic place, and it's the world's most iconic adult playground. And playground is the key word, because you can do basically whatever you want there, as long as you follow the three rules, which is ask first, no means no. And if you don't get an enthusiastic yes, it's a no. But, you know, being able to be naked for a week of vacation during COVID. We spent 90 days there. We lived there for 3 months during COVID. And you just meet the most incredible people at Hedonism. So, you know, it was number one. I guess number two is a Desire, where we found the swinging lifestyle, Desires in Cancun. There's two of them, one in Riviera Maya and one in Puerto Morales. And it's another wonderful place. We used to go there 3 times a year. It's a little different than Hedonism, because you can't fuck anywhere. You can only fuck in the playroom or at the hot tub, where at Hedo you can do it basically anywhere but the dining room.
But also it's a couple's culture only, whereas right. In Jamaica you can be a single person there, which right. I know that a lot of people when they're divorced would want to be single. If they want to try this out right away, if they're not in a new relationship, they can dare to go while they're single. But in Mexico you have to be a couple, and I think you can be a same-sex female couple, but otherwise it's heterosexual. That's the biggest difference, I think, right?
Yeah, I think all in all, single women have a lot more leeway than single men do at not only these resorts, but swinger clubs or sex clubs anywhere around. You single ladies definitely rule the roast.
I have learned that about swing culture. For better or worse, sometimes that makes me a little uncomfortable. But we can talk about that a little bit later in the episode, about how you can have that comfort that you where you feel safe. But I want to hear about your third destination. I have some questions about the
destination. Well, the third one isn't really a resort. It's the Bliss Cruise. And normally the largest gathering of open-minded people anywhere in the world. It goes twice a year in April and November. But the one in November is usually about 6,000 open-minded people. It's on one of the Royal Caribbean big ships. And it is really a hodgepodge of all different people who you'll find compatible people for anyone who either swing or don't swing, who want to be naked, who don't want to be naked, who are just there for an erotic experience. It is just such a big place with a lot of great people. If you don't like a lot of people, it's probably not the place to go. But we say,
because you can't get off the boat. P.S.
Right.
Yeah.
But try everything once.
When you're at these resorts, when you're on this cruise, what are some activities? Because you know, I've been to parties. I've been to swing parties. I've been to kink events, but those are pretty loose, right? There weren't really, wasn't a lot of structure in those environments. So if I was to go to a resort, like the Hedonism Resort, as a single woman by myself, how do I meet people? How do I get to know if I want to be intimate with someone? I mean, how does that, like, is there a cruise director? Is there someone saying, like, Carol, like, okay, Sadie, yeah, we're going to start the day with, you know, how do you kind of break the ice with people?
Well, there are single women there regularly, so we know that they do have a good time, and we've met many of them. Very often, it's kind of the crowd kind of follows the same pattern every day. So, you know, you get up and you have your breakfast and you meet people at breakfast. You can sit down at any table and join people for breakfast, start your conversation, just chatting about anything. And then you can head down to the nude pool, for example, and where the party starts, the alcohol starts even early in the morning. If you're into that, you can get started right away. Again, talking to people, they're there. Everybody talks to everybody, whether you're single or in a relationship. Everybody wants to get to know you.
So there aren't really any structured, like, here today we're going to do yoga together or we're going to do this together. It's very loose.
There definitely are activities exactly like that. There's water aerobics, for example. There's yoga on the beach first thing in the morning.
Nude yoga would be fun on the beach. Have you done that? That'd be fun.
For sure.
Naked yoga.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
That would be so fun.
And there's always activities happening throughout the day, not in the evenings, more like in the evenings, there's the shows and then the parties that happen afterwards. And those are all, they change every day, but the whole schedule is listed. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know what the theme is. Usually there's a different theme every day. So it tells you what to, you can look that up before you go. So you can bring your costumes. If you're like role play, you can dress up as much or as little as you want. And you can join every activity if you want, or none at all. There's always things to do, even if you don't join the activities that are scheduled.
And as the day goes on, the sexiness increases. So normally around 3 o'clock, there's some sexy games at the nude pool, and at Hedonism and at Desire, they both, you know, do very similar stuff, because by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, people have recovered from the night before. And then the hot tub, you know, gets hotter. People, you know, have met people during the day or the day before, and they might want to get a little sexy, or you might want to just get sexy with your partner. And then people go back to their rooms, they shower, they come out for dinner. And like Carol was saying, there's different themes. It could be, you know, denim and diamonds, where people all get dressed up. It could be lingerie night, fetish night. There's all, you know, different reasons to put on sexy stuff that you won't normally be allowed to wear at Starbucks in the morning.
But just so you know, if you don't feel like getting sexy in the afternoon, you don't have to. You can just hang out on the beach and be by yourself, read a book, if that's your jive. So nobody is obliged to do anything. It's whatever suits you.
And then most of the resorts, after dinner, after the show, the playrooms open up around 10, 10:30. And they're open to do whatever you like with whoever you like, or with just your partner or just by yourself. And then, you know, around midnight, 12:30, people end up going back to the hot tub, and there's always midnight pizza and sandwiches.
You gotta eat after all that workout, right? Wink, wink.
Of course.
Absolutely. You have an appetite. I know I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And the big difference on Bliss Cruise is they have an all day playroom, which is an outdoor playroom, which is on a normal cruise, the basketball court. And they put out beds and they put out condoms and they put out lube. And for the outdoor playroom, they put out a bit of sunscreen so you don't burn your butt or your balls or your tits while you're out there while you're fucking. And the cool part about these vacations is that there's always someone who's been there before. So if you're not sure what to do, all you have to do is ask. Anybody talks to anybody, and it doesn't mean if you're talking to them, you want to fuck them. Everybody wants to make sure that you're going to get the best and most fun experience for whatever you're looking for from any of the vacations.
All right. So I have so many questions. So preparation before a sexpedition, besides the lube, Carol, and besides knowing the themes, that's clearly important. You want to walk in ready to go, because that sounds like a lot of fun to me, being so creative like that. So how else does the listener prepare for her sexpedition post-divorce?
So certainly if she's going with a partner, the most important thing is to find out what their boundaries are, what your expectations are, and what your boundaries are. But even if you don't have a partner, you have to establish your own ideal of boundaries, what you want to experience, what you don't want to do. And so that you're ready when someone asks you, hey, what are you into? Then you're ready to answer the question honestly, so you don't get yourself into a situation that you wish you hadn't been saying yes to.
Or you don't spend the whole week and resent the fact that you didn't do anything.
Right, right.
Sure.
So really get in your head what you'd like to see, what you'd like to do, what your limits might be, or no limits at all. But if you don't have a partner, then you should still be talking to yourself and making sure you understand what that is so that you can take full advantage of everything that's there.
Okay, so obviously prepare with attire, prepare mentally, prepare physically, bring appropriate clothing for, you know, depending on the climate you're going to be in. And then how do you prepare to be safe? Because I get that a lot from my listeners because I talk about spicy topics, right? And I get like, well, how are you safe if you're having sex with more than one person? How would you respond to that?
Condoms.
Certainly. Everybody uses condoms. They're around. You can bring your own condoms if you have a special favorite, but there's condoms almost in all the play areas. There's usually free condoms everywhere. And most people use condoms so that you can either ask beforehand, hey, you know, if we play together, do you have condoms handy or is it something you do? And of course, if they said, no, it's not what we do, well, just back away. You know, that's all you can do.
What about oral play?
And most of the time in the lifestyle, we do not use dental dams or any protection for oral play.
So how do you talk about being tested with people before you play with them?
Is that something that certainly
do people bring, do they bring a test with saying, hey, I've just tested, or is that something people do? Mm-hmm.
Not usually. You can, if you want, there's some apps out there and you can show, you know, with your app, you can show that you have been tested and you're considered clean. But if people ask you, hey, do you guys get tested regularly? And we say, yes, of course. Then you either have to trust them or not trust them. And I don't think anyone's asking for proof.
And also, I think also you don't have to do anything. You know, you can have penetration with certain parts of your body and then other parts of your body, you don't have to be doing things. I mean, I know for me, just in general with partners, like, I don't necessarily do oral with people who I don't have a more of a longer term, just for myself. So I think it's important for the listener to know that you really can have a lot of boundaries, whatever you're comfortable with.
And also don't change your rules on the fly. If you set your mind that I'm going to do this and not this tonight, well, stick with that. And tomorrow night, there's another night and you can, you know, if you're with your partner, you can talk to them about it. If you're by yourself, you can talk to yourself about it or talk to another girlfriend. What do you think? It's not a marathon and there's no real end point. If you get to a place that you're comfortable at and you want to stay there, that's fine.
And also if you consent to do something and then you change your mind, it's all fine. You just say, sorry, I changed my mind. I'm not really into this. Excuse me. And off you go.
The middle of a fuck. If it's not good, you say, excuse me, I gotta leave.
Yeah. This is a bad fuck. So I'm teasing. You wouldn't say that, but yeah, I'm teasing. I hear you.
But it's not only a bad fuck. You know, sometimes a guy will go down on a girl and he thinks that her pussy is being used for a jackhammer and he's doing stuff and it's hurting you. You just have to say, hey, bud, you know, can you slow down? And if he's not slowing down, say, you know what, this isn't right for me. And you just excuse yourself.
And that's fine, too. Yeah. Not that it happens often, but we just want to make sure that people know for safety purposes, it doesn't matter what you said at the beginning. You can always retract what you said you would do.
That's so important.
And I just want to go back to preparation,
go ahead.
Guys,
yeah,
if
please.
You're going, manscaping is an absolute must. You don't have to go totally shaved and bald everywhere. But if those pubes are longer than your erect cock, shave them off.
Do they provide service? I would imagine they would provide waxing and things like. They don't have anything like that at these resorts. They make so
they
much
have a
money.
Spa. Perhaps there's waxing in the spa.
Guys. You have a razor. Yeah. Just do it yourself.
I'm thinking more for myself, David, than for the guy right now.
I'm pretty sure you are well groomed.
Okay. Thank you for that. That is so funny. All right. So I want to know when you have done these expeditions, like you've been on a lot, like you just shared your top three right now. How many do you think you've been on, David and Carol?
Well, there's not all that many in the world, just so you know.
Oh, see, I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm doing this episode.
Yeah. Where sex is allowed and alcohol and nudity, most of them are not in the United States because most states don't really allow all of that together at the same place.
Lots of clubs.
There's clubs, of course, in the United States, but as vacation resorts, that's why you don't find them in the United States. They are in
Japan. There are some. There's four or five. There's Sea Mountain. There's Caliente.
Yes. Okay.
There's Secret.
You're absolutely
in
right.
Florida.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So, you know, you just have to look and ask around for all different places. But, you know, if you're asking how many we've been to, let's see, 17 years, on the average for a year. So you do the math.
But not different, right? We have been to Sea Mountain and Caliente, those few that are in the United States, but it's not like there's hundreds like there are clubs.
Or regular clubs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I meant. There's not that many.
What about those experiences? Maybe you've already answered these in your burning questions, but we did those that so quickly. So what about these expeditions for you? What surprised you? Or what was a misconception maybe you had walking in for the first few times that now you would never worry about that situation? Or I'm just so curious.
I can remember very clearly my very first trip to Desire, where we would just become swingers at that time. And I was very self-conscious of my body and what it looked like. And I had just had a surgery and I had a scar and I was worried about that. And within 5 minutes of being there, I'd lost my worries. Everybody looks different. Everybody's lovely. Nobody's looking at flaws. They're only looking at your beautiful personality and your character and how bubbly you are. And so I was worried about how my body looked and for no reason.
I think the thing that I noticed at the beginning, and I'm still blown away by because of how we live in society, is how non-judgmental everybody is on these vacations. You can be whatever color, whatever size, whatever prettiness or not prettiness. It just doesn't matter. Nobody judges you. You can be a billionaire or you could have saved up for 10 years to go on this once-in-a-lifetime trip. It just doesn't matter. Nobody judges. You can have a big cock, a small cock, big tits, small tits, fake tits, real tits. Just doesn't matter. It's all good. Everybody accepts everyone else. And there's compatible people for everyone, like I said.
So are there people that go on these experiences just to watch other people? Because I would find that very interesting. Like that could do a lot for me.
Yes. A lot of people love this voyeurism where they just want to look
and
see.
Yes, I'm totally in that camp.
Touch themselves or not. But
right.
Play with their partner and while they're listening. Yes, it's awesome.
So our favorite are foursomes and moresomes. So we love being in a pile of people having sex. But it's so hot when there's a couple who's not a swinger.
Right.
And they're sitting on the side of the bed and they're getting each other off by watching us, which is like live porn. And then we're looking at them getting each other off and we're getting more excited in the orgy. So, you know, it's one thing to watch porn, which is, you know, produced entertainment.
Very contrived.
But another thing to watch real live people who you've been having dinner with, who you've been talking to, just have sex. And we use that as almost like fodder for our sex life when we come home. We replay the orgies that we've been in. We replay what people were doing watching us while they were having sex with each other. And it's just such an incredible situation.
It's a memory, and it really, really increases your imagination, and it brings other things into your home. When you're back at home, you're remembering all the amazing things that happened while you were away. So we love that.
Do you come back home too and ever have a conflict, or is it always just?
Well, not usually.
Okay.
If anybody has a conflict, they should resolve it immediately.
Okay.
Not let it fester. And because you're learning lessons by sharing your partner is a very, very big deal, and you need to trust in each other 100%. So if anything is not quite right in that moment, you have to correct it. And it might mean to stand back and step away from the situation, talk about it for as long as you need to make sure you feel safe and comfortable and trusting again to go back into sharing your partner.
All right. So you're in a situation where it's a group being intimate. I mean, I've never had that experience before. I would find that, I don't know, maybe I'd find that exciting depending on the company, but how does that work with communication? Like, do you all huddle up? Like, do you have a team huddle beforehand? How do you do that in that type of situation?
So it's so important to have that discussion before, because if you're two couples, three couples, four couples, you're now eight people and everybody has different likes and dislikes.
But does that happen after a night of cocktails and sexy lingerie? Like, you really do have these, like, hey, we're going to talk it out before we do this orgy together.
Yes.
Yes.
So
okay,
important.
Okay, that's good to know, because I don't, okay, good.
Yeah.
Just the point about alcohol, you don't see very many people shit-faced in the lifestyle and in the playroom and in the middle of an orgy, because you can't give consent if you're drunk.
And is someone watching out for that, or is that just on your own?
Well, it's self-policing.
It's self-policing.
Yes.
For sure.
But, because you stay away from those people who are drunk, because that's not going to be a fun experience.
So some of the things that you talk about before you get into an orgy is, are you comfortable with me touching you? Are you into kissing? Are you into penetration?
Do you have any boundaries like hair pulling or anal play? Those are the kind of usual things. You just get it very clear. One girl will say, I love anal. The other one says, not for me. And the other says, okay, don't pull my hair. The other one says, pull my hair hard. So each person has a chance to give their likes and dislikes before we start.
And lately, you have to remember all of that? That's impressive.
It's easy.
Okay.
It's easy because you probably like, okay, have a target
who didn't want what
who you
again?
Play
okay.
with.
I have my little cheat sheet here.
Yeah.
And lately, especially with the younger crowd, we've been finding that there's a lot more bisexual men in the lifestyle.
Interesting.
So, you know, there's some guys who might want to suck my cock. And, you know, they always ask first. Sometimes they ask Carol. Carol says, I'd love to watch you suck my husband's cock. But
then other men say, no, that's not for me. And I'm stepping out, right. You know, so it's best to just disclose everything at the beginning. And it only takes a few minutes. Like you might think this is a long drawn out affair, but it's not.
And some guys don't want their cock touching another cock. Carol loves sucking two cocks at the same time. You just have to know. She loves two cocks in her pussy. Some guys don't want to be that close.
Yeah.
You
right,
just
right,
have
right.
to ask. Yeah. And if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you don't feel comfortable.
Absolutely. I think for me, I would definitely want to do this if I ever do this with a partner, either a female or a male partner. I don't know if I'd like the idea that I could do this by myself, but I don't think I'd want for the first time, at least.
Just so you know, the solo women there always end up having a friend or another couple looking out for them.
2 years ago, we went to Hito and this woman came absolutely gorgeous and she was there by herself. And we found out that she had just found out a week before that her husband of 25 years was cheating on her. So she came to Hito and she fucked every single guy that she could, I don't know how many times a day. And then she says, I'm done. And she went home to him and said, okay, we're even.
And it's all good.
So what have you, I know we talked a little bit about this just briefly in the burning questions, but what have you learned about yourselves? Because I, you know, I love having these conversations because for me, sexuality has like my sexual identity, how I view sex, how I enjoy sex has totally changed. So I've definitely, like you said, Carol, I've had my renaissance, I've had my reinvention, and I love it. So obviously you've had that already, but what else when it comes to these experiences beyond your own personal reinvention around sex, like what have you learned about yourself, like on an emotional level or a spiritual level or something like that?
The good thing about our lives and everybody's life is that we change, we grow and we change. So our bodies change physically as we age, our mindset changes as we get more and more different experiences. So we are constantly learning new things. I would say for David and myself, the most new things that we learn these days, because we've been doing this for such a long time now, probably 16 or 17 years, we've been being swingers, but what we learn more of is sexual pleasure. So we're trying new things because my body has changed so much. My clit is different today than what it was before, simply by going through menopause. I've come out the other side. I'm on hormone replacement therapy. So when we swing with a new couple, even David can't say, hey, she loves this the best, because sometimes I don't know what I love the best. So we spend a lot of time with other couples saying, hey, he wants to try that. Let's try it. Dave, check this out. What is he doing down there? It's awesome. And so we're learning more about ourselves and our pleasure thresholds and how we can please ourselves. I think that's the most thing we're learning about ourselves these days, right?
I would agree. I mean, anytime we go into a lifestyle situation, we want to come out a stronger couple. We communicate a lot. We always have. We communicate even more now because I think after doing it for 17, 18 years, there's some of the thrill and excitement that's gone. So we want to make sure we choose the right partners, the right situation. And you know what? We have such a great sex life. Sometimes we go to Hito for a week and we don't play with anyone. We'll go in the playroom. We'll fuck ourselves. We'll go into, they have a little dungeon. We'll have a little kinky play over there. So it's not about the quantity. It's definitely about the quality. Whereas at the beginning, it was like, okay, who are we going to meet this weekend, the next weekend, and the one after? And definitely, we went out earlier this year. We bought a book, 365 different sex positions, because, you know, in your brain, you can normally come up with about 14 or 15 different sex positions. And that's this run-of-the-mill. You see it on porn. Everybody's doing the same stuff. But, you know, the basis of a good marriage is variety and change and making sure it doesn't get stale and boring. So by watching other people, we're exhibitionists, but we're also voyeurs, and reading and listening to what other people do and how they do it is how we continue to keep our sex life spicy. And, you know, those people who say, I have a great sex life, I don't need to learn anymore. It's not true. We learn tons from our podcast. Talk a little bit later about our podcast, which has a million listeners. But we have great experts on our show every week. And every time we talk to them and interview them, we learn. And, you know, relationships are work and continuous work. And the strongest couples that we see are couples who are always talking and always learning about new and different ways of doing things.
Do you think society's changed around sex and how we talk about sex and how we practice sex? I mean, you know, the whole sex positive movement has been a big thing in the last couple of years.
Certainly has. We think that, you know, all these new channels on TV, which are not censored anymore and they're not all have to have the family rating, and we can see more sex, we can see more relationships and different types of relationships right on TV. It's in our home now, so we're watching it, you know, all the time. That has opened up people's minds a little bit. Still not enough, obviously, but definitely has moved the needle forward.
Oh, we just watched 50 Shades of Grey for the second time. On one of our date nights, we watched it, and, you know, you just look at it and you say, wow, you know, 20 years ago, that would have never been out there and been allowed. And now we watched it on Netflix where, you know, millions of people have access to it. And they talk about the could we, would we, should we, about, you know, kink and BDSM, even at a very simple tame level.
All right. Just because I'm so curious, what are some of your favorite role playing characters to do together?
Oh, my goodness.
You must
don't
have
do a whole lot of role play, but certainly, I like to pretend I'm a dominatrix because I'm not really skilled at it, but he likes to be submissive sometimes. So I like to, put on the boots and pretend like I know what I'm doing. Don't really whip or I don't flog, but I pretend like I am. And that's one of my favorites.
Just recently, Carol learned how to spank. Properly spank.
Yeah. Who did you learn
and
that from,
it's
Carol?
It's a skill.
Who did you take a class? Did you take a class or how did you learn that?
Yes.
Who was
we
your
were
instructor?
At Hedonism, and there were some educators there.
Oh, okay, fun.
So Luna Matadas was teaching spanking lessons. And so, yeah, I learned from her just recently, and we've interviewed her. So if anybody's interested in hearing what she has to say about it. But yeah, it's fun. And plus, I didn't know that he was going to like it. Like, I had no idea that we've been together a long time, and now I just found out he likes to get spanked. So, see, you learn new things all the time.
Spanking is fun, right, David? It's such a turn on.
It is when someone does it right, because it's not supposed to hurt. It's supposed to be a more warming sensation.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when Carol and I are fucking, she tries to spank me, but her arms are a little too short, and it looks like she's a fish out of water.
I love it. Okay, David, you have to share too. What's one of your favorite role playing with Carol? She said dominatrix.
I love being told what to do or what not to do. I love being teased. I love being edged. All those little kinky fetishes that, you know, people think BDSM is all about pain. It's not. It's about the mind and how
surrendering
the mind works.
The power of surrender.
So, so stuff like that. I think also role-playing with a celebrity. We always say, you know, sometimes we're fucking on which celebrity is here with you. Mila Kunis comes up very, very often. And in Carol's world, it's Lewis Hamilton, the F1 driver from Mercedes. So, you know, we have great imaginations. And when you go on these vacations, you get to open up your mind and you see what other people do and how other people live their lives. And some people on these vacations, they go once a year and they don't swing and they don't do stuff, anything outside their marriage, unless they're on vacation. And it's their like kids in a candy store. They come here, they get to go in the playroom, they get to fuck on the beach, give
and
your
they
husband.
They bring all their costumes with them for theme nights. And they really do the role play up big time.
I bet those costumes are
it's like
amazing.
Going to Disney World. You know, some of the costumes are just glow paint. Certain trips we go on one night a week, it's just about everybody glowing and you paint your bodies in glow paint.
That is so
that's
fun.
All
I've
you
done
are.
That. It's sexy. That is so
it
fun.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I am curious. I think the listener's leaning in. All right. This has been so much fun. Now, I am familiar with your podcast and your products, but I know the listener might not be. So can you talk a little bit more about those?
Sure. So we host a podcast every week called The Sexy Lifestyle with Carol and David. We've been doing it for 7 years. We have learned so much. We have the most amazing guests. Our show isn't about swinging, even though there's a little twist to swinging every once in a while. But it's really about making sure our audience gets credible information about things that they don't know.
About sex and sexuality, sexual health, relationships,
pleasure,
all those things.
All that stuff. You know, we talk everything from sex toys to LGBTQ to we have a guest host once a month Ashley Manta, who's all about sex and cannabis. So there's so much to learn about in the world of sexuality that we love doing our show. We love the people. We love all the guests that listen to our show. And the coolest part is that we travel 4 or 5 times a year, and a lot of our listeners end up coming on vacation with us. They talk to us, and then we interview them on our podcast, and we have guests that have listened to our show who are now guests on our show. So it's very, very, very cool thing to do. And our website is thesexylifestyle.com, where all our guests are there, all our podcasts are there. It's just a cool world to live in today, the world of sexuality, because like you asked before, we do believe that it's opening up, and the younger generation is absolutely embracing more open sexuality, not necessarily swinging. When we started swinging, it was a lot more hardcore. And now people who come on these vacations are a lot more about having an erotic experience. They don't necessarily play as much with other people, but they have a great time within their couple. And we say all the time, whatever you do in the world of sexuality, make sure it makes you or your couple a stronger person or people when you come out of it. Mm-hmm. And talk about it. When you do something, talk about it. It's not going to be great the first time, but sometimes you want to try it again, rejig it. You know, we were hanging from the chandelier. Well, maybe next time we'll just do it on the floor. But it just makes your couple so much stronger.
So obviously we cover all of those topics, like David said, in our podcast, The Sexy Lifestyle with Carol and David. But we also sell a sex blanket, which is a waterproof blanket.
I have one. You've given me one, and it is very useful.
And so whether it's lube or squirt or cum or whatever happens in your messy, wonderful sex life, you can just throw it in the washer and your bed stays dry, or whether it's on the carpet or the couch or in front of the fireplace or in the car or in the back seat or in the front seat, you can just put down this blanket and it holds everything. It's absorptive and it's waterproof. Yes.
Top waterproof blanket. On Amazon.
Yes, it's on Amazon.
You can either search top waterproof blanket or you can search sex blanket.
Yeah.
And our product should show.
The link will be in the show notes too. I'll make sure that the link is in the show notes too. And I own one, listener, and it is fantastic. So highly recommend.
So Sadie, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You've obviously been interested in sexy travel and stuff. When are we going to get you on one of our vacations?
I need to find a friend who will come with me. I think that would be a fun thing to focus on this year. I have a few that might, you know, I'll let you know.
So,
David.
So out of hedonism or
I would think that the hedonism. Well, I don't know. If I can find a partner, what was the one in Cancun?
It's Desire.
Maybe that would make more sense. I don't know yet. But
no,
you know what? I will say this. I am recognizing that I'm a little bi-curious. I talked about that last season. I did an episode about being bi-curious. So I would maybe I'd want the hedonism, because then I could mix and mingle with ladies, the single ladies.
Well, you can, and any of the resorts, you can mix and mingle with the ladies.
Okay.
Yes. Well.
And you don't have to be bi-curious, because Carol is bi-situational.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And bi-selfish sometimes.
I love it. And thank you again for being on the podcast. This has been a fantasy episode for a lot of my listeners. So I know they're going to be very happy listening to this. And for the listener who's like, holy shit, what was that? Listen to this episode again. Listen to it again and just soften yourself around all of this. Like, we have grown up to be so uptight about sex. We need to chill the fuck out around sex. Like, just soften yourself, listener. Listen to it again. Lean in. Have some fun. You know, you're divorced. Have a good time. David and Carol, you are always a good time. Wink, wink. And I do hope someday to meet you, maybe in your city of Montreal. Maybe I can't go on a cruise or do the resort, David, but maybe I can get to Montreal this year. So if I can, I'm definitely going to let you both know, because I'd love to hang out.
All right.
Thanks again, Sadie. Thank you so much.
Yep.
A Stylish Exit by Nicole Richman provides intuitive dating coaching that helps divorced women navigate the online dating pool. Using her unique combination of astrology, self-love, and style, Nicole will teach you how to swipe with intention and confidence. Ready for your glow up? Learn more about Nicole on Instagram at A Stylish Exit, or email her, nicole@astylishexit.com. Okay, how are you feeling over there? That was steamy, right? I told you, triple X spice. I delivered on my promise. Actually, Carol and David delivered, like they always do. They are so fun. I am needing a big cold glass of water after that. Speaking of drinks, you know what we should have done? We should have played a drinking game and took a drink every time David said the F word. We would have had lots of drinks. I love how candid they are. And that candid conversation is inspiring a very bold question today for the burning question section of the episode. This question is actually a question I was asked months ago. And when I received the question, I was thinking, you know, what episode am I going to play this question on? Well, today is the day. Today is the day. There will be no other day to play this question than on this very adventuresome episode. So this question was posed to me by one of my followers on Instagram. His name is Chuck. He's from Alabama. And when Chuck initially asked me this question, he just kind of slid it into my DMs. And I'm like, no, 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 Chuck. If you're going to ask me this bold question, you're going to leave a voice note. So he did that, and I'm going to answer it. And here is the question.
Okay, so do you or have you ever dreamed of two men or more pleasing you sexually?
You know, I love a bold question, and I am going to share, of course, Chuck, of course I've dreamed of this. I mean, this is a very common fantasy, in my opinion. Dreaming of more than one man pleasuring you? I mean, throw a pretty lady in there too. Why not? Chuck, yes, I have absolutely dreamed that. But I have learned since divorce that when it comes to fantasies and reality, you know, sometimes the fantasy is much better than the reality. Chuck, are you following me? So if I maybe possibly have had this experience of two men pleasuring me, and if I possibly wanted to do it again, I would be very mindful the second time around about who I invited to the party, and I would vet them to make sure that they were really, 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 really into pleasing a woman. Because sometimes in those situations, people are more about receiving the pleasure than giving the pleasure. So listener, friend, if today's conversation with David and Carol, or if this burning question by Chuck has inspired you, you know, to want an extra yummy fantasy come to life, then I just say this to you. I say, be mindful about, again, who you invite to the party. And I echo David and Carol, always seek consent. Always make sure you are asked consent. Know your limits and be extra, extra communicative about what you want to get out of the experience. I cannot communicate that enough. Like, go overboard with your communication about what you are desiring to make sure you and the other parties are on the same page. Now, if you want to ask me a burning question, you will find the link in the show notes. And if I choose your question and I share it on the podcast, I will send you a little something, something in the mail. I know, old school like that. It is not lube, by the way. It is not lube. All right. The clue for next week's episode. What are we going to talk about? Well, in addition to steamy conversations like this, I get a lot of requests to talk about dating after divorce on the podcast. So next week's episode is going to be under the umbrella of dating after divorce. And my guest is a very, very popular dating coach. And his initials are TK. All right. One more clue. That was one clue. His initials are TK. And the topic that we're going to discuss is, this is someone you should consider dating, but you don't. Ooh, who is it? Who is someone you should consider dating, but you don't? Well, you will have to listen to an all-new episode of Sadie's Divorced and Happy next week, and I cannot wait to connect with you then. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, and be sure to treat yourself by subscribing to the podcast. If today's show gave you a boost, consider giving us some love with a 5-star rating and an enticing review. Interact with Mike and me all season long on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. Looking for an affordable and effective way to market your services and products? Consider sponsoring the podcast. Email contact@divorcedandhappy.net to learn more about our sponsorship opportunities. Join us next Wednesday for more delicious life after divorce fun.